And in just a few moments, we're going to partake of the Lord's Supper, in which we remember the sacrifice of Jesus. We partake of the unleavened bread, which reminds us of his body that was nailed to the cross. And we partake of the fruit of the vine, which reminds us of the blood of the covenant, which was shed for us. And I wish to prepare our minds for that for just a few minutes before we partake. I want us to consider measurements. How big was the fish you caught? Of course, we put up our hands and we say it was this big. And, you know, we always exaggerate just a little bit because we have to show that it was bigger than it was, because we are implying the greatness of it and the fight of it. But when it comes to God, he doesn't exaggerate. God doesn't need to exaggerate. The accomplishments of God are not exaggerated, but they are put in massive scale. For example, how great is God? How much smarter than us is he? And God describes this in Isaiah 55. In verse 8, he says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So he describes it and says, you start down here and you go all the way up to the stars. And that's how much smarter than you I am, God is saying. You start down here and you go all the way up to the stars, and that's how much better my ways are than you, is what God is saying. And so it is thus the tremendous arrogance and foolishness of mankind today to look within themselves for guidance, to see their feelings and say, this is what God wants me to do. To think that if they just think hard enough or naturally enough, that will reveal the mighty God who is so, so, so much further above us than we are. Or we could talk about his accomplishments in comparison to ours. You might turn to Psalm 103, and if you have a bookmark or a finger, most of you have fingers, you can mark that there, for because we're going to look at a few verses in Psalm 103. But 103 in verse 15, "As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. When the wind has passed over it, it is no more, and its place acknowledges it no longer." And so he describes us, he says, yeah, we have a moment. A moment where we can accomplish something and we can flourish. And then that moment is gone. And we are gone. And everything about us is gone. And it's just vanished. In comparison to, say, God in verse 17, "But the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting." He envisioned a timeline. He said, go to the very, very beginning of the timeline, and God is beyond that. And you go all the way to the other side, the very, very, very other side of the timeline, and God is beyond that. And there on the timeline, we're just a little speck. And you talk about the accomplishments. We can flourish for a moment, but then in comparison, in verse 19, "The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all." You may accomplish something in your company. You may even accomplish something in the country. But God, is his throne is in the heavens. And he rules over everything. And so if we were to try to make a comparison between us and God, there's just no comparison. And that's what makes this so important. Many people have been crucified. Hundreds, thousands of people have been crucified. And all of them gruesome, painful, awful. But we don't remember them. We don't write their names down in history. But when the Son of God, the one who would call himself one with the Father, the one who was in the beginning and is God and is part of creation, who comes on earth, when the one who is so much greater than anybody, when Peter has the audacity on the Mount of Transfiguration in Matthew 17 to make equal to some of the greatest of mankind has ever had to offer, Moses and Elijah, a voice from God, a terrifyingly powerful voice from God says, "This one's my son." You listen to him. No comparison with anything we've ever offered. And he's on the cross for us. That's why we remember, because of such the difference. It wasn't just a man. It was the Son of God. Well, how much does God love us? Well, if you're back still in Psalm 103 in verse 17, it is the loving kindness of the Lord that is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him. His love is described as all the way to the end of time this way and all the way to the end of time that way. Or if you go up into verse 11, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his loving kindness towards those who fear him. And so it's the same description again, only this time it starts up in heaven, way up there compared to down here. And that's accurate, because that's how far he came. Jesus was up in heaven in all of his glory and all of his might, and he left that to come down here with us. And we know that when we remember this sacrifice, that it is of great significance, not just at who was on the cross, but what he accomplished. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 26 and verse 28, as he reminds us of, actually he's instituting the Lord's Supper, and we remember it week after week, but this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. And how many times through scriptures does it refer to this sacrifice being for forgiveness of sins over and over and over again? Well, how far away from our sins are we? How forgiven? How separated? And God gives us answers for that. So back in Psalm 103 in verse 12, as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. And so if we were to stand on the top of Pike's Peak, God has taken our sins and he has moved them all the way into Kansas. They are so far away from us. Other ways that this is described in Isaiah 38 and verse 17, and I recognize these are Old Testament passages, but it is the blood of Jesus that covers throughout time. It is the blood of Jesus that has made this forgiveness possible today and this forgiveness possible back then. It was not the blood of bulls and goats. But in Isaiah 38 and verse 17, lo, for my own welfare I had great bitterness. It is you who has kept my soul from the pit of nothingness, for you have cast all my sins behind your back. And so here's the picture, and it says he takes your sins and he just threw them over his shoulder. No longer see them to notice them. They're just gone. In Isaiah 43 and verse 25, I am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins. Or Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 20. A prediction of the return of God's people from captivity, but I don't believe it's fully fulfilled until Jesus is on the cross, until that blood is washing over his people and his saints. And it says in Jeremiah 50 verse 20, in those days and at that time, declares the Lord, search will be made for the iniquity of Israel, but there will be none. And for the sins of Judah, but they will not be found. For I will pardon those whom I leave as a remnant. And so when Jesus' blood forgives us of our sins, you can look and you can search for the guilt. You can look and search for what you've done, but it's simply gone. You are all the way over there. And your sins are all the way over there. And as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we think about what Jesus has done for us. And I sure hope we're taking a moment to say thank you. And I sure hope we're taking a moment to say, wow, the Son of God was on a cross. In John 21 and verse 16, Jesus asks Peter a question. A challenging question, I suspect, given Peter's past. He had just a few days previously sworn, cursed, I do not know him. But now Jesus has been resurrected. I shouldn't have said 3 days earlier. This has been more time than that. But Jesus comes to Peter And he says, verse 16, he said to him again a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And I hope our answer to that is a resounding yes. With all of my heart and with all of my mind, with everything I have, all of my being, I love you. I remember you and I will honor you. But what if we reverse the question and we ask Jesus, do you love me? The answer, of course, it's ridiculous. Yes. How much? This much. And he died. And we remember. Let us remember him and partake with a proper heart and a proper mind.